welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another exciting learning festival known as the Vinnie Eastwood Show, broadcasting live from the palatial news bunker buried deep underground, right next to the core where it's still warm, in the fabulously fluoridated capital of Auckland, New Zealand, the island changed nation in the sunny slave South Pacific, where the Fukushima radiation levels are so bad that we've had to relocate to the centre of an active volcano called Vinnie Eastwood's blabbering mouth. And my very special guest today is, interestingly enough, Cameron Day. Welcome to the Vinnie Eastwood Show.
Thanks, Vinnie. It's good to be here.
We're going to be talking about something that might offend a few people today, which is kind of what I like, because if your ideas, thoughts, understandings of life are not challenged to the point where it makes you a little upset sometimes, then you don't know how to actually defend your beliefs. And if you can't, then that means you probably shouldn't be believing in them anymore, because there ain't no evidence for their real existence. You call yourself a former light worker, Cameron. Could you please explain to me what a light worker actually is? And then why you don't want to be known as one of them. Not like you've shifted to the dark side or nothing, of course.
No, absolutely not. But what I came to understand a light worker really is someone who has been recruited by and is working in some capacity for the false light. And the false light beings are what I call demiurgic consciousness beings, meaning that they're part of what the Gnostics called the corrupt demiurge, which is essentially a system of control. And that system of control has enveloped our planet and many other planets throughout this galaxy. And it seeks to separate the individual from their awareness of their connection to Source. Now, that connection is never truly severed, but the awareness of it can be covered up. And in order to, I know this definition is long, but we'll get, trust me, I'll get there, Vinnie.
All definitions that take a long time are usually a definition worth having, because then you've actually got a background story on why the frack something is named what it actually is.
Exactly. And so in order to get their scam, their con job of convincing people and beings that they are separate from Source, they had to use a false dialectic, meaning they had to offer people two limited options within the demiurgic construct, that you could either go to the dark side or you could go to the light side. But of course, their light side is the false light, because the beings within that false light realm.
Hold on a second. Are you saying that this is the spiritual equivalent of the false left-right political paradigm?
Pretty much, yeah. And so within the false light side, the beings there are just as parasitic, just as ruthless, callous, uncaring, and deceitful. In fact, I would say even more deceitful than the dark side, because the dark side, at least, is pretty blatant that they're just bad. They're evil. They're going to do what they do, and they don't care who it affects.
It's kind of like, you know, Bush acts like a real horrific president and everybody hates him. And then Obama acts like a real horrific president, and even a worse one, and everybody loves him because he's part of the light side, isn't he?
Well, let's not go there right now, Vinny.
Ironically.
let's keep going, pushing through on this definition here. We'll get this defined and then sure. We can get into politics maybe a little bit later. So within this false light category, they have a whole hierarchy. And again, hierarchy is a very important concept that we'll touch on shortly. But they have an entire hierarchy of beings, angels and archangels. And they have so-called ascended masters and beings that pose as your guides and tell you how to live your life and what to do. And all along, they're blowing smoke where the sun doesn't shine, telling you that they love you and care for you and that very shortly that you will be reunited with them, and that the good guy ETs are coming soon to save you, and all this stuff that you see in channel messages that pretty much repeats over and over again ad nauseum, the same basic premise of these messages.
But what's happened? Savior.
Yeah, exactly.
You've got to be your own man.
You have to be your own savior. And so what's happening is that when a person puts their belief into that particular system of thought, they are giving it energy. And that's really what the corrupt demiurge is all about, is taking energy, draining energy. And so my recruitment into the false light happened when I was around 6 years old. And they took me to a place where there was angelic-looking beings and essentially told me a variation of the truth, which was that I was here to help to bring about a change, and that they were going to guide me in doing that. And that was, of course, the lie, that they were going to guide me in doing that. What they were actually attempting to do was drain my energy and get me wasting my time fighting battles, especially in the dream time, against the dark side. But all that really does is channels energy into their construct. And so that then, in short, is one variation of the lightworker con. Now, different people with different abilities and different tendencies get used in different ways by these beings. But many of the lightworkers that are, let's say, calibrated to be strong and fight against evil and corruption, that they will use them in a warrior context.
You know, so what? Actually, I have a personal experience that is just like that, you know, where you get used by some scumbag in order, and he says that you're doing all this really nice and lovely stuff. And the reality is he's just come some kind of a criminal who just wants to use you.
Right. And so they've done this to basically every being that they could who would reject the dark polarity. And they try to get everyone either in the dark polarity or the light polarity. But again, it's the false light. But what we really came here to do was transcend the entire demiurgic illusion of separation from source. So their agenda is partially predicated on preventing anyone from fulfilling that original intent, that original decision to even incarnate into this realm, so that they could begin working towards undoing it and spreading the message of truth, which is very simply that you have always been connected to the infinite source from which all life springs, and that connection can never be severed. It can only be covered up. It can only be forgotten for a limited time, but eventually the memory of that will return. And so this scam has a shelf life, and they know it has a shelf life, and they are deeply afraid of it coming unraveled. And it is coming unraveled. And there are many others like me who have, through their own experiences, figured the con out and written about it. I hadn't heard of them until after I wrote that latest article of why I'm no longer a lightworker. But several people told me, check out this person, check out this person. They're saying very similar things to what you said. And so the con is coming unraveled. So essentially, a light worker is someone who's working for the false light. Now, that doesn't mean...
Well, hold on a second. Is the opposite of a light worker a hard worker?
What would the opposite be? Well, see, that's just it, Vinny. They deal in false opposites, false dualities. So the opposite of a lie isn't necessarily the truth. It's just another version of the lie. So the opposite in their false duality of a light worker would be a dark worker, right? Someone who's on the dark side, someone who very openly and blatantly harms other people, steals from other people, takes energy and life force from others. But the false light is doing the same thing, but they're just doing it with a sugar-coated hard candy shell to make it seem like it's a good thing. They maybe give you some happy, tingly feelings here and there and make you think that everything's going great. Like, as an example, there's...
Seems like a very similar dialectic to the way psychopaths treat normal people.
Yeah, in fact, I would say these beings very much fit into the definition of psychopathy. It's a little different when you're not in a human body, but the basic intent is the same, which is to drain their victims of every single ounce of energy that can be drained from them.
And, of course, they need to feed in a lot of ways. They kind of starve to death if they don't have people admiring them and following them and so on and so forth.
Exactly. And the demiurge itself requires vast inputs of energy to stay intact and to retain its power. And so they take over vulnerable planets when they're at a state, when the population is at a stage where they can be fooled or conned into being, let's say, augmented or enhanced by these beings. And that was the con that they pulled on Earth humans several hundred thousand years ago.
And then they convinced humans that they didn't exist.
Well, yeah, slowly but surely, they convinced a lot of people that they didn't even exist. And the people that do display psychic abilities, they come in and say to them, well, hey, we're here to guide you. We're here to help you. We're the good team, right? You can trust us. You can do what we tell you, right? You have your place in our hierarchy. And so the hierarchical nature of these beings is actually one of the blatant giveaways of their true nature. Because beings that know that they are one with Source, that they are connected to Source and therefore connected to every other being, don't set up hierarchies. You don't need a hierarchy when you know that you are equal to everyone else. And there may be people that have skills that you don't.
King Arthur had that same concept when he made the Round Table.
Right. That was an example of that egalitarian type of mindset. But when you hear about these channel beings, they're talking about their spiritual hierarchy, their galactic hierarchy, this and that hierarchy, hierarchy, hierarchy. And the problem with hierarchy, well, the foremost problem among many, is that wherever you are in that hierarchy, you have to take orders from above you. You have to be a slave, essentially, to whoever has authority over you. And then you get to be the slave master for whoever is under you. So it's a very sick type of a system. It's a sick mindset that goes into it. And that sickness has infected, of course, every institution in the world. Or I should say, developed those institutions.
It breeds an environment where having a lust for power and control becomes very natural and, in fact, encouraged.
Correct.
Providing a ready feeding frenzy.
Provides a ready feeding frenzy, a very smooth conduction of energy from the bottom of the pyramid up to the top of the pyramid. And at the top of the pyramid is that ever-hungry demiurgic consciousness that is consuming whatever it can consume or whatever it needs to consume to keep itself going.
Which would explain the current obesity epidemic in America to some degree.
A little different, but...
Yeah, I was just making a joke.
Yeah, it's okay, Vinny. It was a bad joke.
I know. I'm known for that. See, the other concept that I'm thinking about here is, let's say that there's a false spiritual paradigm between light workers and dark workers. Let's say that there's a false social paradigm between psychopaths and religious gurus, for example, who are incidentally a lot of the time psychopaths. Mm-hmm. And the false political paradigm is the left and the right. What does this leave for people to go after? Because I think that once you deconstruct these previously held beliefs, these very deeply held beliefs, like your thought about humans, your thought about politics, your thought about spirituality, your thought about reality itself, once the truth hits you that all of those rigidly held beliefs that you had, that you built your entire life upon, are no longer there, what is left for you? It has to be discernment. Doesn't it?
Discernment is a huge factor. And really, once you strip away all of the lies, you get to the truth of you, the true self that you really are, that divine being inside of you that has never forgotten its connection to Source, and has always retained its awareness of its infinite beingness. So all of these institutions, all of these false dialectics, these polarizations that are handed to us that say, here, you choose the left or the right, you choose the dark or the light. It doesn't matter as long as you're choosing what we're offering to you. As long as you're choosing one of our limited options, then we've got you. And so when you strip all of that away, you get down to who you really are.
And I think, is that different for everybody? Or if we're all part of the same source, then who we really are is the same, isn't it?
Well, we're all still uniquely individualistic. That's the beauty of the creation. The true creation is that while every being is connected with source, they're individuated facets of that singular source. So the source can experience itself through an infinite or nearly infinite array of conscious individuals.
So that's the beauty of it. I'm born. I have a completely individual experience. Nobody can really copy me or replace me or imitate me. I have innate abilities, innate strengths, and I can do something very unique and change the entire human race. That's the power that each and every individual has. And these entities don't want you to know that you've got that power, because otherwise you'll change the power structure that they've created, which is a hierarchy, as opposed to every individual changing the world themselves.
Exactly.
Yep. I think that's quite a valuable realization I just came to there.
You summed it up very nicely, Vinny, and it's that very simple realization. See, the truth is actually pretty simple. The complexities come in the form of lies. The complexities of the various myths of the New Age. Oh, we're going to commercial.
Yeah, we are. And I was just going to say, yeah, those various complexities. Like, basically, when something confuses you, it's not because you're so dumb a lot of the time. It's actually because what's being told to you is a lie. And I suddenly realized why I spent so much time at high school very, very confused indeed. We'll be right back after the break at the Vinnie Eastwood Show. .com. Don't you go anywhere, folks. Cameron Day is my guest. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. It's now our second segment, Cameron Day. And we were talking over the break about important words and the meanings of words, different translations and things of this nature, which can maybe allow you to awaken your perception of what things really are and what they truly mean. Have you ever noticed how if you want to kind of free yourself, you sort of have to change whatever it is that you're doing that's enslaving you? And a lot of people are really afraid of challenging themselves. A lot of people are afraid of giving up their comforts. The problem is you may be comfortable, but you're not really free. Even those who are working part-time and have half their time kind of free to do what they want and just enough to get by seem to be happier and more comfortable with themselves than those who have to work full-time and have all the comforts money can buy. It's because money can't really buy your happiness. It really can't. But poverty can't buy you it either. It can definitely buy you a heck of a lot of stress. Makes you forget that you don't have to live the way other people tell you to. There is always a way to live your life free and have a delicate balance whereby you don't have to suffer either at the hands of your own ineptitude or the scumbaggery of others. Cameron Day is my guest, and we're talking about getting yourself out of the system, different ways to do it. How did you accomplish this, Cam?
Well, the system that I'm really focusing on is a little bit different than the, let's say, the physical matrix of economics and financial slavery. This is a form of energetic slavery. And the way I got out of it was I kept pulling on the string of doubt, because even though when I would be involved in these nighttime excursions, these dream missions, something felt off. I didn't think it was right that I would be sacrificing so much of my sleep and restful period to be doing battles at night, for example. And at a certain point, I got to get up close to one of the so-called ascended masters who was serving a role as a general. And when I got close to him and felt into his frequency, he had a feeling of someone that is in love with their own power and their own ego, really. Didn't have the kind of frequency that the so-called ascended masters claim to have. And shortly thereafter, the mission that was being undertaken at that time went completely pear-shaped. And then when I thought about it, it made me wonder, really, why did I have any sense of loyalty to this being? Where was this coming from? And what I discovered was that that original agreement that I had entered into through deception at age 6 was the source, really, of that loyalty, that kind of blind loyalty. And I really questioned why that was even there, because in normal waking consciousness, I don't have blind loyalty to anything. I'm always questioning everything. Every truth or so-called truth, every realization, I question myself and my own beliefs, and I regularly transcend and leave behind beliefs that no longer serve me. And so that's what I did in this particular instance, was I called up all of the agreements with any beings, whether they were supposedly light or not, that did not have my best interest at heart, and I got rid of them. And Vinny, the resistance I felt from that, coming from these so-called light beings and ascended masters, was so intense and so strong, far stronger than anything that the dark had ever, so-called dark, had ever thrown at me. And it was a real battle for 2 days to just get the main agreements removed, you know, stemming back into childhood, going past, present, and future, because they string little agreements all along your timeline. They get you to agree to things in your dream time state as well. They'll submit something in front of you, or they'll make you an offer, attempting to get you to agree to something. But the agreements are always filled with fine print that you never get to see. So any agreement with these beings has to be removed, has to be cleared out.
Sounds awful. It sounds an awful lot like trying to do a deal with Monsanto.
Yeah, you know, deal with the devil, right? And the thing is, the devil is the demiurge, if you want to put a real blunt point on it. And all of the beings that serve that demiurge are the... Well, to just kind of flow with that same analogy, they're the minions of hell, and they're instituting hell on Earth. I mean, this planet is exactly where they want it to be for the most part. The society is very much where they want it to be. They want people ignorant, and the people that want to break out of that ignorance, they trap them in the new cage movement, as I have started to call it. And the new cage is really just a retread of the same dialectic with some extra gilding on it, a slightly bit of expanded awareness. Because what they're trying to do is corral humanity into a slightly larger containment zone, a slightly larger field, if you will. The analogy I like to use is that we're like a bunch of chickens all stuffed inside of a coop, and it's really cramped, and we've got chickens above us pooping on us and chickens below us getting our poop, and it's really stinky and we want out. And so the farmers are going to open the door and let us out into a nice big fenced-in field where we'll have grass and bugs to eat and sunshine and a seemingly really nice time of things, but we'll still be contained. We'll still be farmed for our energy. And really, not a whole lot will change. That's their goal. That's what they want. Fortunately, there's lots of people that are waking up to this scam, and we're kicking holes in the fence, so to speak, so that we can burst all the way out and tell these manipulators, all of the ET manipulators and interventionists who have been working with the government or abducting people and telling abductees that cataclysms are coming and that they'll be evacuated because they're special. All of these beings are part of this larger control system. And they want us to think in their terms. They want us to think in their hierarchical mindset so that we just fit right into that control system.
Sort of like everybody's got a place that they want you to be, as if there's a grand design, as if there's an end game to their plans, schemes, and scumbaggery. What would it be?
Well, they are masters of deception, so they have multiple scenarios. But the scenario that it seems to me like they really want to put out is one where we get fed up with the governments and the warmongering and the system as we have it in place now. And they will create some sort of crisis, whether it be perhaps a military / New World Order crisis, where they do institute official martial law type lockdown scenarios. And then the savior ETs show up to save and rescue humanity from those evildoers, who are, of course, their minions. And then humanity, in its gratitude, welcomes them with open arms and says, yes, please, bring us your enlightened governance. And so once again, we are still being governed. We simply traded one government for another one.
Thomas Paine once said that a patriot's job is to protect his country from his government.
That's very true. And, you know, the whole idea of government, the whole idea that a collective of individuals can tell you how to live your life, that they can take from you your energy, your currency, your monies, that they can tax you, that they can take you away and put you in a cage if you disobey their edicts, their laws that they have written down. That entire concept is completely invalid when a person knows that they are sovereign and that no one has any right to infringe on their sovereign energy. And that is the knowledge that they are desperately attempting to keep from people. They want everyone thinking that they need to rely on a master, that they need a teacher to teach them the truth, when the truth is so very simple. Everyone is equal. Everyone is equally connected to Source. And the primary universal law is do not harm others. Don't steal from them. Don't enslave them. Don't murder them. Don't rape them. These are very simple rules. And if you violate those rules, the corollary to that is every being has an inherent right to defend themselves, using whatever level of force necessary to prevent that from occurring. And so that universal law is being broken on a daily basis by these beings, and they've set up their corrupt demiurge in order to allow that ongoing violation of universal law to continue to perpetuate, because it's profitable for them to continue to do so.
What they're trying to have is a monopoly of force, which is the supreme authority from which all other authority is ultimately derived. As they say in Starship Troopers.
Okay, and so the use of force against another is a violation of universal law unless it's in self-defense. So any aggression, any act of aggression, is a violation of that very simple universal law, which is do not harm others. And so these beings, they do very much have a monopoly on that force. And the false light uses that force in a very clever manner. They never come directly at you. They always come at you from the side. They're always coming at you with the illusion of benevolence, the illusion of love, the illusion of having your best interests at heart. And then they proceed to tell you that you will be absorbed into their hierarchy. And I, for one, will not be absorbed into any hierarchies. I have already broken those agreements long ago. And any attempt to bring me back into the fold will be met with flat resistance. It already has been, and it will continue to be met with a flat no. Now leave.
My body just rejects authority now. Like, I somebody tries to tell me what to do, I instantly kind of almost shut down. I just can't follow orders, sort of thing. I'd be terrible for the military.
Yeah, and in fact, a lot of people that do the self-clearing system at Ascension Help have told me that one of the first things they noticed was that their tolerance for BS and being told what to do drops dramatically. Because you're getting back in touch with your sovereign self. You're getting back in touch with your connection to all of life, all of creation. You're getting in touch with your connection to the earth and to the galactic mind. And when you begin fostering that awareness, it is very incongruous to have some boss person ordering you to do things that you don't even think are necessary to do the job that you need to do.
Yeah. It's like, bro, can't you just trust me to get it done right? I'll do it my way. It'll get done. You'll be satisfied. I'll be satisfied. Otherwise, leave me alone. Don't micromanage me.
Yeah, and that's really hard for someone who's been completely imprinted by this matrix from pre-birth, even. They get that imprinting started real early, Vinny. So there's a lot of agreements that have to be removed from birth, from before your birth.
It's interesting you should mention birth, because I've noticed that when it's somebody's birthday and they've like hired a DJ or something, because it's their birthday, they feel that they're entitled to micromanage things.
Yeah, yeah. You know, I mean, any excuse to wield a little bit of power over others, most people seize on it. But again, a person who knows who they really are doesn't have a need to control anyone else, at least insofar as that person isn't doing anything that's harmful to them. Like, for example, if someone's at my home, right, there's certain, let's say, house rules that a person has that you expect someone to follow. And just like when I'm in someone else's home, I want to make sure that I follow their house rules, that I respect their property. I respect the general, let's say, ambience of their home, right? I'm not going to come into their home and get drunk off of my face and pee in their plants and, you know, crazy stuff like that.
That actually did happen to me, except somebody took a dump in the sink that was incidentally opposite the toilet. So I went into the bathroom, you know, and there was this god-awful smell and I couldn't figure out where it was coming from. It was quite horrific. And I think a couple of months later, those same guys came to my door. I'd even moved house. And they asked to use the bathroom. I said, nah, bro. And I closed the door on them and told them to frack off. We'll be right back after the break.
The word is about. There's something evolving. Whatever may come, the world keeps revolving.
Welcome back. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. My very special guest is Cameron Day. Now, Cameron, what were we talking about over the... The new form of protesting that I just invented. It's called party protesting. All right. Now, for those of you out there who do like to have a wee bit of a drink or go out and socialize with people and so on and so forth, if you're a truther, you'll notice a stark difference between when you walk up to somebody dead sober and you talk about conspiracy stuff, they get that kind of glassy-eyed look, not unlike some kind of blind person on a horror movie. And on the other hand, if that person happens to be a little bit drunk or perhaps having imbibed something else, you'll notice that they're far more open and far more interested a lot of the time, depending on whether or not they're abreast of this kind of information. Sometimes it can backfire. But just think about that. If you've got the ability, you've got the knowledge in your head, you're in a social environment or something of that nature, you can strike up these very interesting conversations and literally blow people's minds with far easier reception to these ideas because somebody's under the influence. Now, is this perhaps unethical because you're taking advantage of somebody's mind state while they're under the influence of some kind of substance? Maybe. But at least you're telling them the truth. And who knows? They might actually remember some of it when they get home tomorrow.
They might remember it and they might even thank you for it. But I wouldn't depend too much on that.
Yeah. Well, I think you've got to find as many opportunities to protest or change the system in any way you can at every available opportunity, methinks.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, anyone who's open to hearing more truth, to having their horizons broadened, you know, whatever you can give to that person, whatever nugget of truth that you can plant in their consciousness, then it's a good thing.
Yeah, I do believe so. The thing that really gets me about people when they're a little off their face is that they tend to be a lot more prone to also telling stories about themselves and deeper insight. And so if they've got that openness too, often the things that you tell them about conspiracy, scumbaggery, psychopathy, light and dark, and so on and so forth, it often gives them pause and reflection. And they'll often tell you stories kind of, you know, just off the cuff about themselves that really show that they truly understood what it was you were telling them. I've had a number of experiences like this, and I think that's kind of the thing that really gets me about parties is that a lot of people are there to consume substances and to experience very loud music and so on and so forth, possibly get laid. For me, it's mostly about the socializing and learning deep, meaningful things about other people who are experiencing the same human condition as I, with radically different experiences that has brought them up to this point.
Yeah, that's a beautiful thing. And that's really an honest expression of your true self, right? And that honesty, that clarity is something that this matrix attempts to occlude, to cover up, right? So they layer on multiple identities, agreements, belief systems, perceptions of yourself, perceptions of the world. They get that ego pumped up nice and strong and that ego identified with as many external things as it possibly can, right? Your political party, your favorite sports team, your possessions, your car that you drive, all of these things get layered up and encrusted on top of that nugget of truth, of that true self. And so the process of ascension, from my perspective, is stripping away all of those illusions, all of those limitations, and getting down to that simplicity of your infinite self. And it seems strange that infinity could be simple, but it really is. It's about infinite expression of the one source through a nearly infinite number of conscious vehicles, conscious souls.
You know what this reminds me of? It reminds me of what I was thinking the other day. You know, everybody sort of comes to the truth in their own way. Have you ever heard somebody said that?
Oh, yeah.
You know, like, for example, for it to come to light to you, that the world politics, geopolitical sphere is more or less under the control of a ruthless pack of criminal psychopathic scum that are quite likely non-human in nature in a lot of ways. Frank, where was I going with this? I forget. Damn it.
Well, it can be a very jarring truth, right? And certain truths are very jarring. And they're even disorienting to an extent. And I found that with this particular article that there was a lot of pushback from people who had heavily invested their sense of identity, their sense of self and self-worth with their channeling of angels and extraterrestrials and all of this that I had pretty much laid bare as a scam. And it's not that I want to hurt these people, quite the opposite. I want to help them. I want to truly help them to be free and to not be a pawn for some hierarchical, parasitical scumbag, even if that being is putting on the airs and the illusions of being angelic and lofty and loving.
I think that anybody who tells you what you want to hear, that everything's going to be okay and that somebody's going to come around and solve all your problems for you, you know, the government will pick up your trash or whatever, they've always got something that they want from you. I think there's an old philosophy that a man doesn't ask you for something for nothing. Even if he's not asking for money, he wants something else. And that's, I feel, the problem with a lot of the political systems and so many other things, is that they are asking people for something. Your trust, your confidence. They don't want your money. So what is it that they want your trust and confidence for?
Yeah,
it's so that they can rob you blind.
Yeah, and it's their source of power. And, you know, and it's really interesting, you know, the axiom as above, so below, it continues to play out in multiple ways in this false light / dark fake duality. And that duality is a really important thing, because a lot of people get kind of sidetracked when they think of, oh, okay, so then all duality is bad. But that's not at all what I'm saying. I'm attempting to convey that a false duality is a trap. It's a form of imprisonment of your mind. There are still plenty of valid dualities all throughout the universe, all throughout nature. A very simple one, of course, is male-female, right? We also have the duality of night versus day.
Hot and cold.
Hot and cold. We have lots of dualities, of course, magnetic, electromagnetic duality, that type of polarity, right? Positive and negative magnetic polarities, right? The Earth would not exist as it does without that magnetic polarity. And the universe itself is electromagnetic in nature. And so there are polarity-based forces at work holding it together and keeping it in communication and everything in the proper balance. So that balance has to be a balance of opposites. And we have those opposites within us. We have a masculine side and a feminine side. We have our analytical left brain and our creative holistic right brain. And the hemispheres of the brain need to be balanced. Our masculine and feminine natures need to be balanced so that we can then be above the duality, but still embracing it, keeping that duality in balance, and keeping the true duality, the true polarities of nature in balance, while rejecting the false dualities, the false dialectics of control. And that's really what it's all about, is stepping out of being controlled. You know, I see myself and all of the other beings that are like me that have come here to break open the matrix, is that we're here to lead a rebellion, a slave rebellion. Because whether we want to admit it or not, we're all slaves on the energy farm right now. And until we begin breaking out of that invisible cage, until we take off the shackles and say, no more, I am sovereign and no being has any right to access any of my energy. I will use my energy as I see fit. And I'll take back everything that's been taken from me. Until we can do that and affirm that with power and conviction, then we're still going to have a master. We're still going to have a condition of slavery in our lives.
Exactly. If you say to yourself, very seriously, I am a revolting slave. Wait a second, there's a dual meaning there.
There's a bit of a dual meaning there. I like it. Yeah, and you know, that's the thing. You can't solve a problem until you know what the problem is. You can't escape.
There was something somebody else was talking to me about the other day, bro. As she says, you know, I prefer action rather than thinking. And I was like, well, hold on a second. If you don't do your thinking before you do your actions, then you're probably acting without thought, and you're probably going to get yourself into even bigger Shiite Muslim.
Yeah, right? So if you don't know what the problem is, how can you take action? If you don't know that you're a slave, how can you free yourself? Right? Well, and
those who are the most enslaved are those who falsely believe that they are free.
Yeah, you know, that saying has been around a long time, and it keeps proving itself on multiple levels. And again, that axiom of as above, so below. And so that enslavement didn't happen on accident. It was very calculated. They had a plan. They had a problem, which was that they needed more energy, and they came up with a plan of action, and they imposed it on this planet and other planets. And so we need to know what's going on. We need to create a plan of action so that we can get ourselves actually free.
Yeah. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. It's now hour number two of the fastest 2 hours in talk radio. It's the Vinnie Eastwood Show. It's the lighter side of genocide. Because in a world so full of chaos and madness, if you lose a sense of humour, you go friggin' nuts. And my very special guest today is Cameron Day, a man who's more in touch with the source than the Heinz Corporation. Cameron, welcome back.
Thanks, Vinnie.
Now, we've discussed a lot and gone through some very important things. And in fact, you know what? I'm going to do something very rare after today's show, Cameron, is I'm going to listen back and listen to the whole show that we just did, because I've come to a lot of important realizations in its duration. And I thank you very much for that. Something tells me, though, that there's a lot more important things yet to discuss. And I'd like you to take off and take us where you want.
Okay, great. Yeah, and I'm really glad to be able to be a conduit for deeper realization in you and hopefully everyone listening, that I can share something that can spark a deeper awareness of that truth inside of you. Now, I want to take this into the direction of some of the, let's say, challenges that I've received from people, some of the statements that they've made, and attempting to rebut my case that I made in the article of why I'm no longer a light worker. And one of the, I'm going to just say, most insidious belief systems that has cropped up in numerous examples is the idea that there really isn't anything good or bad happening, that reality is all good, that Earth is just a school or an illusion or a dream, take your pick, and that whatever happens is just an experience and it shouldn't be judged, that you shouldn't resist it, you shouldn't take any action to create something else. And this belief is one of the most paralyzing, most disempowering.
Yeah, I was going to use the word disempowering. It's like, what?
Yeah.
How insane.
It's yeah, and you'd be really surprised at how many people have bought this idea. Because, you know, to say that everything is just an experience, well, if you've ever known anyone who has been sexually abused or assaulted in any way, try telling that to them. Try telling them that it was just an experience and that they should just get over it. They shouldn't be, you know, holding on to the past. They shouldn't be judging that person. And tell them even the next New Age myth is that they created that experience for themselves. The two actually kind of go hand in hand. And neither of them are true. Neither of them really makes sense when you think about it with just a bit of logic.
Neither of them accept any responsibility.
Yeah, and exactly. Even though you would think that the idea that, oh, well, you created that for yourself is taking responsibility, but it's not, because the truth is that we influence our reality, and everyone is influencing reality to the extent that they are able to. But when you have a planet full of people influencing reality, along with an entire hierarchy of falsely polarized beings influencing those people to influence their reality, then the truth is that there's a lot more happening out there than each individual is creating themselves.
Let's get this straight. There's 700 billion souls on Earth creating part of reality. And the New Agey belief is that you create your own reality, thereby voiding all of the other 7 billion other people.
Yeah, you know, and
strike you as remarkably arrogant?
It's remarkably arrogant and just plain inaccurate. So in a situation where, let's say you were walking down the street and you got mugged, and somebody tells you, well, you created that for yourself. Well, not really, but that to an extent, maybe so, right? Maybe
I couldn't put the knife in his hand, yo.
Yeah, right. Maybe my situational awareness wasn't where it should have been in that time frame. Maybe I looked like an easy target. But that person used his will to mug you, right? He created that for himself. You just happen to be the recipient of his creation. And that experience isn't just all good, and it's not just an experience that you shouldn't have any attachment to or that you shouldn't do anything to change. You know, I would say that
they've got a remarkable lack of empathy. You know, look, people, mug is not just something you drink out of.
Yeah, and, you know, and it's interesting that so many of these ideas that are packaged as being spiritual actually do cut a person off from their empathy, right? So, you know, if you watch a video, just go on YouTube and type in dog rescue and watch some of those videos. You know, if you don't feel a sense of empathy, a sense of sadness and relief when the dog is rescued, you know, sadness about the dog situation and then relief when they've been rescued and sent to a good home, right? You're suffering a bit of an empathy shortage there. And that dog didn't create that reality of being abandoned and stray or mistreated for himself, right? He's just a dog. And it's likewise people that have ended up in situations that were damaging to them, right? Maybe they got bombed, for example. Maybe they live in Iraq and they've had their home bombed, or they're a victim of some other form of U.S. government and military imperialism that ended up having their home blown up. They didn't create that for themselves. The will of someone else was imposed on them. And this act of imposing will on someone else, this is the violation of that basic law that I mentioned earlier. And it's not all good. It's a problem that needs to be stopped. So when someone is attempting to take your energy, it's not all good. You need to put a stop to it. You have to stand up and declare your sovereignty and tell them, you have no right to take my energy. And you'll be surprised when you get into clearing out agreements, how deep these agreements go, how many beings are holding a copy of those agreements. I call them counterparties to the agreements. Again, as above, so below. There's all of these beings that have copies of agreements that we've made, and they are draining just a little trickle of energy from that agreement. They have these copies of agreements stacked up in their possession so that they can receive large amounts of energy. And then, of course, they pass some of it up to their superiors and their hierarchy. But that energy source is you, the individual. It's me, the individual. Until we break out of those agreements, until we stand strong in our sovereign power and declare, I am sovereign and you have no right to take any of my energy. You have no right to interfere with my energy or my life in any way, shape, or form. Until we do that, we are going to be subject to these forces that are influencing our reality against our best interests. And so to all of those people who believe that it's all just an experience and you shouldn't ever resist, you should just go with the flow, I've got some news for you. That is the belief system that the enslavers have instilled in you so that you will be a good little slave.
Hold on a second. Is the personification of the light worker somebody who doesn't resist any of the darkness, and a dark worker being the darkness? And those two systems were created by the enslavers so that they create one group of people to do the enslaving and one group of people to lie down and take it.
Kind of, yeah. And the light workers that were prone to fighting the darkness, which was my profile, we get used in a special way where, especially at night, they will concoct these little scenarios, these little battles, these little setups where we go in and we have to fight against the dark forces, right? We go in and we have to rescue people, their children, from a situation. And in that channeling of that energy, we have less energy available than in our waking life to affect positive change in the world. And so that was the trap that I had been in for many years, since I was 6 or 7 years old, that they were setting up these scenarios to divert my natural tendency to fight against enslavement. And some people out there, you know, the New Agers who think that it's always bad to fight against something, even if that something is evil, again, you need a reality check. Because if
the ones that tell you, oh, if you mention their name, you give them power. So basically what they're telling you is don't expose the particular criminals that are in control at a protest,
right,
kind of thing.
Right. Yeah, right. So if that were true, if I followed that mindset, then I never would have written this particular article that the majority of people reading it actually were very receptive to it, very glad that I wrote it. A lot of them were feeling the same things, thinking many of the same ideas and questioning many of the same tenets. So if I had said, oh, well, you know, I can't ever talk about them because then I'll give them power. Look, just avoiding even talking about something gives it power, right? The idea, another New Age thing, what you resist persists, right? No, what you ignore will persist because you're not doing anything to stop it.
As Ayn Rand said, you can ignore reality, but you can't ignore the consequences of ignoring reality.
Yeah, exactly. So for the people that have been tricked into believing that it's all good, I would recommend that you shift that perspective and realize that there are forces working upon you, forces taking your energy without your consent, and begin working to undo that agreement that somewhere along the way that you made that you don't remember. Now, agreements are tricky because they get you to agree to things before birth, after birth, during your dream state as well, that will present with opportunities to you. Say, oh, we have a great opportunity for you. Just sign this. Or here, take a look at this, and you'll read something that the words are constantly shifting and moving. And this is a holographic agreement that they are getting you drawn into. So if you're having weird things occur in your dreams, that's a sign that your dreams are being manipulated and not in your highest interest. Your dreams should be very for the most part, very calm, very peaceful, very soothing. There may be some little events occurring. Maybe there's a problem that you then work with other people on to solve, that type of thing. Your dreams should not be stressful. They should not be filled with battles for your fighting for your survival or running from evil forces chasing you down, that type of thing. If your dreams are resembling that, that's because there are beings that are diverting your energy into those scenarios so that you have less of your power available in your daily waking life.
Kind of like instead of when you're dreaming, you're fighting battles and whatnot. And when you're not watching TV, you're playing violent video games.
Well,
that's all that energy out of you.
That's another level of programming, you know, that is a way to bleed that energy off. You know, and also violent television programming, there's a sense of false catharsis there, right? Because the bad guy usually gets killed by the good guy or arrested and put in jail by the good guy. And you have a feeling like, okay, yeah, justice has been served in this illusory television programming. I actually highly recommend that people turn off their TVs, turn off the movies. I mean, there hasn't been an original movie made in a decade. Well, maybe a couple here and there. But for the most part, Hollywood is simply repeating the same things, repeating the same programming, the same archetypal subconscious programming. So all of this stuff is programming.
Here's an interesting little factoid for you. Me and my girlfriend, we do like to watch movies online. When I'm watching them, I'm analyzing enemy communications. I take screenshots of Masonic symbolism. I take small recordings if they mention the number 33 or some really great kind of New World Order speech or whatever. And we were looking through these movies by the year. And what we noticed is in 1999, it was like the peak of modern filmmaking. You had The Matrix, Fight Club, The Green Mile, and so many other really kind of iconic films. Mm-hmm. And then we went to 2000, and it was as if all the creativity and all the brilliant scripts and everything like that suddenly disappeared, and we had like these really cheesy monster movies and disaster films and so on and so forth that just had nothing, no basis in reality. It was like they were trying to get all of the good scripts out there before the year 2000 hit because they were afraid of losing them on a computer or something.
Well, yeah, and I think what it was is they really needed to step up the programming. And there's another layer of programming and agreements that I want to mention. How much time is left in our little segment here?
About 1 minute.
Okay. We'll get to that when we come back then.
Okay. Well, also, I wanted to give a wee thanks to the listeners. I made a call out for the donations earlier in the week, and sure enough, I'm getting some of them. Still want to have about 500 people from around the world given $5 a month to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. It gives me about $500 a week to live off. Just think about the amount of resources that I could really gather to support the activists, improve the show, get new equipment, and so on and so forth. It's about accumulating the tools so that we can do for the activists what they can't do for themselves, what the mainstream media refuses to do because they're bought off, paid off, part of the control structure. Why do you think they call it television programs? Why do you think they call the night coverage of different shows the programming? It's because they're trying to program you. And so, naturally, if you can be programmed by seeing certain things and hearing certain things, surely by seeing other things and hearing other things, you can be deprogrammed. And that's what we seek to do here at the Vinnie Eastwood Show. That's why we kind of let on pretty much anybody to talk about whatever the heck they want. Because, look, the world is far too complex to be compressed into a 4.5-second soundbite. Ladies and gentlemen, go to thevinnieeastwoodshow.com, donate, or subscribe today. We'll be right back.
Ladies and gentlemen, do me a favor, smash the television and burn the newspaper. That shit will never tell you that the president's a traitor. Believe
that's appropriate. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show, the programming that's all about deprogramming. That's what I'm talking about. Speaking of which, this is what the discussion is going to be about for this particular segment. We've got a number of subjects to kind of gloss over. You ever figure out that when you're having fun, you never have enough time? You know, all of a sudden, oh my God, is it 4 o'clock in the morning? Jeepers creepers! I've got to be at work in like 2 hours. Okay, subliminal agreements. What exactly is a subliminal agreement? Meaning it influences you in some way and your subconscious just goes, yeah, okay, I'll do that, even though you're not really consciously aware that you're making a decision to do something, like bow down to Satan.
Yep, right. That's basically it. So it's an agreement that you make that happens beneath your conscious threshold. Now, one example of it is when you're watching a television show, and on the introduction to that show, you'll notice that there's a lot of fast-paced imagery moving faster than your eye and brain can really process it. And so when that occurs, when you can't really consciously process it, it all pipes straight into your subconscious to be hopefully processed at some point in the future. The problem is that embedded in there are going to be various symbols, either overt or covertly woven into whatever the artwork is or whatever the imagery is. And in that symbol are going to be what you call sigils. And this is a series of symbols combined into a single icon or a single symbol or a single logo, if you will. And that embedded message essentially says that if you watch this introduction, then you are agreeing to support the version of reality that we are about to show you in this TV show, as one example. So then that agreement comes into your subconscious. You watch that little intro without in your mind saying, I do not agree. I will not support your reality. I'm simply watching this show because it's kind of funny or whatever.
The Big Bang Theory comes to mind when they do the little song and the thing. One of the lines in the song is, we built the pyramids, and then it flashes very quickly a symbol of the all-seeing eye atop a pyramid that was on the back of the $1 bill.
There you go. Yeah, in fact, I like that show, but I will not watch that introduction thing because I know exactly what it's doing, and I'm not going to allow that into my subconscious mind and then have to clear it out. So I just cut it out altogether and say, no, I will not support that.
Here's the problem. Can you subvert those things that are supposed to be subliminal if you know that they're there? They only really affect your subconscious if you don't know that they're there, and then they are able to work their magic on you. But if you know that they're there and you're actually looking for them, you get to spot them and go, ha-ha, there you are.
Right. Now, let's take that Big Bang Theory as an example. You could do that if you paused every single slide and analyzed each slide that flashes on there. But even if you know what's coming and you know that that's going to be embedded in it, if you still watch it, if all of those slides are coming at such a rapid pace that they're going to slip into your subconscious because you didn't have the time to analyze each one of them.
So it takes just that much. Ergo, almost every single frame of a movie reel, therefore, is an elaborate amount of pictures that your brain can't fully process and actually does it in the subconscious anyway. Because when you're watching television, your brain switches from alpha waves, which are the logical, the analytical, the mathematical waves, to the beta waves, which if I got them the wrong way around?
Switch that around.
Strike that, reverse it, as Willy Wonka would say. And so therefore, it doesn't even matter if you're aware of what subliminal messages are on there because your analytical brain ain't possibly switched on.
That's a really important part of it. Yeah, the flicker rate on TVs, right, they flicker at a rate to put you into that alpha state so that you're calm, passive, receptive, and just absorbing whatever programming is coming into you, whatever agreements that they're getting you to agree to. And sometimes it's something as simple as the way the situation is framed, like in cop shows or CSI type shows, when they'll ask someone, do you have a license for that gun? And they go, oh yes, I have a license, you know? Well, guess what, people? You don't, in most states in the United States, you don't need a license to own a firearm. You simply buy one and you have it. So it's little things like that, that where they frame reality in such of a way that if you're not in your proper analytical mind and you're not being super vigilant about what you're observing, if you're just passively taking it in, you're agreeing to uphold that vision of reality. And now the same thing occurs in channeled messages. And what they do is they start off with sweetness and light. They tell you some things that you already knew so that you're nodding your head in agreement. And then they get into whatever programming that they want you to have. So they'll tell you, essentially, be calm, never be angry, never resist. This whole evil tyranny will be overthrown by us. We are going to come in and save you from the evil, right? That's always a message in there. Saviorship. We are here to save you.
And they always do it in this really soft tone of voice, you know? Right. It reminds me of some kind of a rapist or a pedophile.
Okay. Yeah, they're always coming in with the sugary sweetness. And so while it is good to be calm, it is good to have calm as your baseline so that you can be balanced. The idea that you should never be angry is a fallacy, because anger is the natural and appropriate response to being manipulated, lied to, or violated in some way. And if you can't get angry, if you're incapable of anger, then guess what? You're a perfect slave.
Oh, imagine that. Imagine a workforce that you could boss around, be mean to, all day long, and never, ever, ever have to worry about them rising up and being angry with you.
Yeah. And now, of course, the form of slavery that they're going to shift us to is going to be much more of the velvet glove, right? Right now, it's the iron fist. And they want to transition us to the velvet glove so that we feel like we're free. So they'll be very sweet and gentle on the exterior, as long as you're a good little slave. But if you go against it, well, then, you know, the iron fist will come back out. But they want everyone to be really passive, really calm all the time. Oh, stay calm. Don't get angry. Don't be mad, right? Talk in soft tones. And I would urge everyone to get in touch with the anger that you have, because if you haven't been expressing anger, that means you have probably quite a bit of it suppressed somewhere in your subconscious. And so part of your self-clearing process will be to get that anger out somehow in a constructive way, a way that doesn't spill out onto your family and friends, unless it's your family and friends who are violating your sacred space and your energy, and in which case you probably need to get a little bit angry with them to tell them to back off. But in general, you need to process that subconscious anger so that you can be freed from that baggage, and then clear enough that in the present moment, if a situation that is coming at you where a person is attempting to violate you in any way or deceive you, steal from you, etc., that you can have the appropriate anger to shout very loudly, no, hell no, this is not kosher, I'm not going to do this.
Can we think about a situation that everybody's been in where you've got somebody who you know is using you, you know is lying to you, yet they keep promising you more of what you want if you just keep going along with it? Some of us are stuck in this situation right now. And have you noticed that all these little glinting promises never eventuate and are replaced instead with more promises? I think that the people who actually deliver, those who do what they say they are going to do, are the only people you can really trust. Anybody else is even mildly flaky. You can't put an ounce of confidence in them. And unfortunately, those people for which you should never have confidence in, ironically, become the heads of all the major corporations and banks and governments and so on and so forth. They become your teachers. They become your police officers. They become your doctors, your lawyers. They become your musicians, your filmmakers, your journalists, your radio hosts. They get themselves into these positions of power and authority so that they can more easily permeate their scumbaggery.
Yeah, but as far as radio host radio show hosts go, we exclude you from that, Vinny.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, and so, you know, it's that same idea that people that don't have a moral compass that will do anything for power tend to get into positions of power because they're willing to do anything. Somebody who does have a moral compass, who doesn't want to hurt other people, who won't do something for their own gain if it is going to hurt someone else, those people are the people that should be in positions, let's say, of respect. Now, I actually am an advocate of non-authority, non-authoritarianism, non-hierarchical structures. I feel very strongly that humanity needs to overcome the slave mentality that has been imprinted on them, that everyone needs to be told by someone what to do. And instead, we need to just adhere to this simple one law: don't hurt anyone else, and live your life the best that you can. And if we all do that, we can all be the governor of ourselves. Because no one has the right to govern another human being. No one has the right to tell another being how they should live or to take their livelihood from them in the form of taxes. We have to transcend all of those hierarchical structures, including the government, and govern ourselves.
I don't want to be somebody's leader. You know what I'm saying when I say that? Like, mm-hmm. I have a natural talent for leadership. You wouldn't believe the amount of protests that, you know, with my megaphone and my chanting I've led and it made everybody enjoy themselves. But I don't actually want to be able to ever in my life be in a position where I can tell somebody what to do and be able to force them to do it, whether or not they want to.
Right. Absolutely. And that's where everyone needs to be, right? We need to get out of this idea that someone should tell us what to do and that we should tell other people what to do. Nobody should be telling anyone what to do. If somebody comes to me for advice or guidance, I will tune into them and the situation and tune into their higher self and look at the situation from the biggest perspective possible and tell them what I see is probably the best course of action for them. But if they don't want to do that, that's okay. Right? I'm not here to force anyone to do anything. My role is to help people. My role is to facilitate people in getting clear, right? So that's why I do sessions. That's why I put out the self-clearing system. The entirety of that first level is free at ascensionhelp.com. And then there's a level 2 on top of that as well that's very inexpensive. And so I keep everything inexpensive because my ideal is to have a world filled with clear human beings who are filled with the self-authority and the knowledge that they are connected to source, the awareness of that connection, and that they're living from that space. And when you live from that space, you can't force someone to do something. You can't harm anyone else. The idea of harming someone else is absurd. It's insane when you're that connected. But if you're disconnected from that, well, then that's where hierarchy and authority and enslavement, all of that comes about.
Yeah. And I see one subliminal coming through in a lot of films, this line of order out of chaos. And if you watch the new version of Red Dawn, it says something along the lines of, when we were over in Iraq, we were the good guys. We were there to restore order. But now the enemy's on our turf, so it's our job to create chaos. And isn't that ironic how it was actually the United States who went over to Iraq to create some freaking chaos? And then ironically, the invader of the United States was claiming that they wanted to restore order. It's this entire backwards system that is getting through to people, and they don't realize that there is this thing that you've called, what is it, divine chaos versus destructive chaos, Cameron.
Yeah, and so destructive chaos, that's taking the form of the false dialectic. It's taking the form on Earth of imperialistic wars and oppression of people. It takes the form of financial chaos, financial control, energetic enslavement. Destructive chaos is how the rulers have ruled for so long, and it's occurring in the 3D realm. It's occurring in the higher densities as well. But when you strip away all of the control, all of the hierarchical structures, you get a person who is free, and you get what I call divine chaos, where you have...
We'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen. Anarchy doesn't mean no rules. It means no rulers, by the way. We'll be right back after the break at thevinnieeastwoodshow.com. Please visit there and donate today. Back in a minute. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. It is our final segment in the second hour, our last chance to talk to Mr. Cameron Dade, the bright ray of actual sunshine coming through, not the manipulative lie down and take it like a catamite sunshine.
Yeah, that's a real important difference. There is a true light. There is the true divine source light. And that light is inside of every living being. And that light is what needs to emerge. That's why we have to get clear. We have to strip away all of the illusions that have been layered on top of that light to cover it up and obscure it. So that divine source light is your birthright. It's who you really are. It's really important that people understand that who you think you are in this one lifetime is just a tiny facet of your total being, and that the real you can shine like a sun from your heart and obliterate all of the false light, all of the darkness, the entire corrupt demiurge. And they know what's coming. That's the thing. They are working with borrowed time. They are running out of tricks. In fact, they've run out of tricks a long time ago. Now they just keep repeating the same tricks over and over again. Same ways to usurp energy, the same kind of like, destructive chaos.
They're kind of like the scumbaggery equivalent of a one-trick pony.
Yeah, they've got about a dozen tricks, but they've run out of new stuff, and it's partially because they've taken destructive chaos as far as it can go. That had never really been done
before.
Are
you saying that they have actually perfected the art of destruction and scumbaggery?
Well, as perfect as you can get such a thing, they've taken it as far as it can really go. And now it's time to be done with that whole little experiment. Because, see, somewhere along the way, the being had the thought of, what if I could replace God? What if I could be worshipped by others? What if I could have power over others? What if I could manipulate and take from them? What if I could use my free will to take away the free will of others and get them to even ask for more? And that was the inception of this entire corrupt demiurge that is taken over this world and other worlds. But destructive chaos is running out of time. It's running out of energy. And what we're going to shift back into is the original...
You know why they're running out of energy? The same reason the Roman Empire did. The reason why the Roman Empire collapsed wasn't necessarily due to corruption or whatever. It's because the reason why it expanded so quickly is because they entered new territories and stole all their wealth. They stopped conquering territories, ran out of stuff to steal, and just floundered and died.
Yeah, and that's essentially what's happening. They've run out of territory to conquer. They can't continue expanding at the rate that they've expanded. And so what was going to happen is that we'll get rid of that whole destructive chaos, the entire corrupt demiurge, and we'll return to the original design of the universe, which was to have what I call divine chaos, where there's no controllers, there's no enslavers, there is no authority dictating what will occur, but rather you have individual beings all expressing their divine self, their divine source, in unique and collaborative, cooperative ways, building civilizations, building cultures, building music, art, building beauty, building stability. And this divine chaos is what produces true stability, because you have people coming up with new ideas. You have people, beings, if you will, throughout the universe coming up with new ways to do things even better. And so the competition that occurs is more of a friendly competition where you come up with ways to do things better. You figure out new technologies, you figure out new methodologies, and then you share those with others. And so that divine chaos is where true creativity reigns, and that's where freedom exists. And so humanity has become very disconnected from that concept, and we've been handed a whole pack of lies and told that this is what's true. Even if you don't believe it, well, you're wrong, because I'm an authority and I'm telling you what's true. So that's why we have to be very much in the place of discernment, where we don't believe anything anyone says. And I don't want anyone out there to believe me just because I sound like I know what I'm talking about. I want you to take these ideas in, test them against what you know, test them against your true inner core. I want you to be in touch with your inner core. I want you to know for yourself what's true and not believe anything, because believing something means that you have been told something by someone else. It sounded okay, sounded good, and now you believe it. But if you know something, that goes way beyond belief, because now you've tested it, you have made sure that it holds up, and you know that it's the truth.
It's the different form of competition, isn't it? Instead of competing against one another so I can be bigger than you and better than you and beat you, it's instead of one winner, one loser, let's say you're competing to create a free energy device for the world. Everybody's a freaking winner.
Exactly. Yeah, so win-win scenarios come from beings that are in touch with their inner self, that are aware of that source connection. You know, you have to have that in order to even perceive a win-win scenario. Because if you're lacking that, if that's covered up, then you feel a state of spiritual lack, a state of need. And therefore, the ego will then become disproportionate and it will need you to feel better than someone else, to feel superior or have authority over someone else.
I find people often abuse authority because I think there was some kind of a college study done where they got a whole bunch of students in there and they got split them in half, got half of them to be guards and half of them to be prisoners.
Mm-hmm.
And the guards were the supreme authority. And within a week or something like that, they were abusing and even beating some of the other students and things like that. It just turned them into monsters having unchecked power.
Yeah, that unchecked power. And see, if all of those so-called guards would have had that awareness of who they truly are, they wouldn't have had any need to, first of all, even participate in the experiment. But even if they had, they wouldn't have any need to exercise any form of power and control over those other inmates. They would have just done the basics that were needed for the experiment and not given in to that urge, because that urge wouldn't have even been there. If you know who you are, if you know that you are connected to source, there's no need to have power over anyone else. There's no need to take or usurp anyone else's power because you have your own power.
Is this a paradox, though? Think about the world of politics. The only people that really enter into politics and survive through it and go all the way up to the top in order to have power over everybody is the person who would actually want power over everybody. Ergo, the person in charge is never going to be somebody who wants you to empower yourself, not with the existing system anyway.
That's exactly correct. And so that's one other reason we need to transcend the perceived desire to have someone govern us, to have an external authority telling people what to do, how to live, and how their money should be stolen from them and spent.
I convinced somebody that karma didn't exist the other day. Think about this. If karma really existed, think about all the really good people who've done nothing wrong in their lives, who've actually been really kind and generous and loving to everybody that they meet. Getting parking tickets or speeding tickets or getting mugged or something of that nature or getting sexually assaulted or something. Where's karma for them? And think about all the scumbaggery individuals that do that kind of stuff on the grand scale, like Henry Kissinger, George H.W. Bush and so on and so forth, and the Robert Mugabes and Joseph Stalins in this world. They didn't really get their just desserts, did they? They certainly didn't experience badness throughout life to the same extent or anywhere near even possibly comparable to the amount of suffering that they inflicted on humanity. And I was thinking the other day, Cameron, that this concept of karma in that respect, that if you do bad things will happen to you, I think that that was one of these ploys to get people to be talking about being one of these light workers so that they'll be completely disempowered and just go, oh, well, somebody badly just did this little thing to me, so I'll just accept it and lay down and frickin' take it while these people take everything else from me behind my back.
Yeah, and yeah, the law of karma has been radically twisted within the demiurge. In fact, the so-called lords of karma, it's a kind of a big topic, but they will...
We've only got 45 seconds.
Really. Okay, so they will essentially transfer that energy that should be... that the individual who committed an act should be responsible for. They'll transfer it to someone else. And again, they do this through agreements. I'll be writing more about this, though, in a future article. So I know we don't have time now. So I just would like to once again plug my site, ascensionhelp.com, ASCENSION help, as well as my other site, geniusbrainpower.com, where I offer a comprehensive package for brainwave entrainment so that your right brain and left brain can both be balanced and working together in harmony, so that way you can't be fooled nearly so easily by those who would happily take your power and energy from you.
Yep. You need a set of tools, don't you?
Absolutely.
Okay. Well, Cameron, thank you very much for your time, your wisdom, your experience, and various other nice things, which I could describe, but unfortunately I don't really have much time.
Thanks, Vinny.
And we'll get this all up on YouTube and the VinnyEastwoodShow.com as quickly and promptly as possible, because, you know, we've touched upon a lot of very important, life-changing, realization-giving knowledge and experience and wisdom during the show, you know, for myself included. So, ladies and gentlemen, please share this one out with everybody. We'll see you again sometime.